Good morning, my name is Matt and I'm one of the leaders here at Jubilee Church. And I'm continuing in our series entitled, When the Going Gets Tough. Now I know whenever you hear that line, you can't help singing in your head the 1986 number one hit by Billy Ocean, later covered by Boyzone, When the Going Gets Tough. You can't help it, it's impossible. So far we've been covering the following in the book of James. Dave spoke on coping with trials. Mike spoke on coping with temptation. Stephen told us not to show favoritism. And last week, Ben explained that living faith produces fruit. The theme of all these is that the human condition can easily struggle with life and fall into traps to stop us really enjoying and growing in our Christian faith. The title of today's preach, as we've already discussed, is Taming the Tongue. The scripture I'm reading is in James chapter 3, verses 1 to 13. And I'm going to be reading from the Passion Translation. But before I do, can I please say this? It might be that some of you might be tempted right now to tune out of this message on account of the fact you're already thinking, I know what you're going to say, Matt, that the tongue can be used to build or pull down, that we all need to think before we open our mouths and count to five before we speak, blah, blah, blah. Please wake me up when you're done. And yes, I'm sure you are going to hear much of what you've heard before. But please bear with me, because I believe God and the Holy Spirit can always bring new teaching and revelation from his word. There's always a fresh thing to learn. So please try not to go to sleep. I'm going to be reading from James chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. And this is what it says. Should be coming up on your screens at home. My dear brothers and sisters, don't be so eager to become a teacher in the church, since you know that we who teach are held to a higher standard of judgment. We all say we are powerful enough to control ourselves in every way, and that means our character is mature and fully developed. Horses have bits and bridles in their mouths, and so that we can control and guide their large body. And the same with mighty ships, though they are massive and driven by fierce winds, yet they are steered by a tiny rudder at the direction of the person at the helm. You know, during the time, the position of rabbi or teacher was very highly respected. Something that one would aspire to. Teachers got the best seats, after all, in the synagogue. And then we read those two illustrations. So we get this sense of scale, don't we? Imagine a horse, a beast weighing half a ton, and yet it's controlled by that tiny piece of metal in its mouth. Now imagine a Dutch barge that we see on the Thames moving through the locks at Shepperton. They're the size of a decent size flat, aren't they? However, the rudder is a relatively thin piece of wood that can easily direct and steer a huge floating hulk of a boat. So we get this sense of scale. Something small can control and steer something very big. And James is comparing the tongue and its power and ability to steer and direct a church. The things we say as teachers can bring incorrect beliefs and bad practice that can draw a church down the wrong path. Bearing in mind that there is no New Testament at this time. So the early church can't read all about the wonderful things that other folk had done, but are literally having to rely on the Holy Spirit and those apostles to guide them as to which way they should go. Historically, there have been churches where a pastor has brought in ideas and practices that have led a whole congregation down the wrong road, a destructive path of sin, immorality, deception, micro-control, and sometimes bullying. It's incredible that the words of one teacher can do so much harm. So teachers, be vigilant and aware of words, for when we control our tongues, we control the whole body. Let's read scripture, a bit more scripture, this time verses 5 to 6. And so the tongue is a small part of the body, yet it carries great power. Just think of a small flame that can set a forest ablaze. The tongue is a fire. It can be compared to the sum total of wickedness is the most dangerous part of our human body. It corrupts the entire body and is a hellish flame. It releases a fire that can burn throughout the course of human existence. Wow. I'm sure we've seen TV footage of forest fires. The bushfires in Australia at the start of 2020 were devastating. More than 10 million hectares are burnt. That's equivalent to 40% of the entire UK. Thousands of animals killed or displaced from their habitats, and yet all it took was a tiny spark. James is telling us that our tongues, or the things that we say to one another, we can be compared to that fire, because the tongue is so dangerous and the most dangerous part of our body. Sticks and stones might break my bones, but words may never hurt me. That is absolute rubbish. Verses 7 to 10, let's read on. For every wild animal on earth, including birds, creeping reptiles, and creatures of the sea and land, have all been overpowered and tamed by humans. But the tongue is not able to be tamed. It's a fickle, unrestrained evil that spews out words full of toxic poison. Fickle means to be constantly changing. Our words can be affected in accordance with our mood and our emotional state, and therefore fickle, out of control, full of toxic poison. Words can be like that, can't they? We say things that we don't need to say, and we can't take it back once we've said it. Let's read verses 9 to 12. We use our tongue to praise God our Father, and then turn around and curse a person who has been made in his very image. Out of the same mouth, we pour out words of praise one minute and then curses the next. My brothers and sisters, this should never be. Would you look for olives hanging on a fig tree or go to fig trees from a grapevine? Is it possible that fresh and bitter water can flow out from the same spring? So neither can a bitter spring produce fresh water. James is saying you can't have two different expressions coming from the same heart. It's either sweet or bitter, godly or ungodly. What's in your heart? Let's just summarise the scripture. Number one, teachers or aspiring teachers, be vigilant and aware of our words. Those that teach are held to a higher standard of judgment, for when we control our tongues, we control our whole body. The tongue carries great power, the most dangerous part of the body. The tongue cannot be tamed. It's fickle, unrestrained, evil that spews out words full of toxic poison. We use our tongue to praise God, our Father, and then turn around and curse a person who is made in his very image. Now, I'm very aware that this is particularly not very uplifting preach. There's no warm, fuzzy feelings. I hope and pray that it will cause you to examine your heart, to be honest with ourselves. I felt when studying for this preach and understanding James' message as an intellectual process is relatively straightforward. But when we hear a challenging message, we need to follow more steps. Step one, We understand the message. That's intellectual. That goes on up here. We get what's coming out of the words and what James is expressing. We then let it receive into our hearts. Now, that's a spiritual process. That's allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to us. And then we respond and act on it. That's physical. We repent. We ask God to help us, and we actively change. So let's look at some practical applications, starting with James' message on teaching. Anyone who is responsible for teaching, preachers, youth leaders, kids workers, home groups, prayer groups, Bible study leaders, anyone who has followers on social media, writes a blog, parents raising children, if you speak into people's lives, you will be held accountable by God. If on your personal online blog you want to tell people that you believe that Boris Johnson is the Antichrist, or preach that wearing face masks means you don't have any faith to believe in God's protection, then God will hold you to higher standard of judgment. We need to think carefully before we speak or act. I read one commentary that suggested if you counsel someone and give advice, that these words should be thought through very carefully. Don't allow your own personal anger or frustration to speak badly of another person and thereby influence their feelings towards another brother or sister. And it's easy to do. James tells us that we can't tame our tongues. We're just not strong enough. When we look at modern society more than ever, this seems true. There is more opinionated, aggressive, spiteful words written on the web about people's views, what people look like, than probably any other time in history. Cyberbullying, trolling, attacking others, it's now part of modern culture. As Christians, we are not to be drawn into this, but instead we need to use our words to build, encourage, love, support, and spread the love of Christ. It says this in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. So what about handling disagreements? When we disagree, do it in love. Not to crush or win or undermine, but to respect each other and to be open to other ideas and points of view. It's possible to disagree and love each other at the same time. James chapter 1, verse 19 says this. Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. Let every person be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. What about handling difficult conversations? There may be times when it's appropriate to say something to an individual that you know it won't be easy for them to hear. But in that instance, the heart needs to be right and it must be said with the right motives and with wisdom. Talking harshly to one another. I'm going to paraphrase James here and say this. If we are praising and worshipping God with all our hearts, lifting our hands, expressing love and thankfulness, singing, I want to be like you, Jesus. Make me like a precious stone. You are the potter, I am the clay. But later, speak harshly in an insensitive and hurtful way to a brother and sister. What's really in our hearts? In Matthew 15, verse 18, but what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person. Matthew 12, verse 34. Jesus had this to say to the Pharisees. You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. One more example, the psalmist. 141, verse 3. Set a guard over my mouth, Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Amen. I know I could use a guard sometimes on my mouth with things that I say. What we say with our tongues can cut deep. These deep emotional wounds can really suffocate and cause an individual to be in bondage to rejection, hurt, and bitterness long after those words were ever uttered. It's that forest fire that we saw earlier. Small spark with lots of damage. A word spoken at the wrong moment can damage or end a friendship. A little careless word can lead to pain and bitterness. Tim Martin, the entrepreneur who set up the Wetherspoon pub chain, named the company after a school teacher who said he would never amount to anything. There we see Tim turn those negative words into drive. Just as I was prepping to speak today, I was wrestling as to whether I should share a story on an occasion when I was working at a department store back in the late 90s. Because I'm quite ashamed of my behaviour, but I think it's important that we learn from each other's mistakes. So I worked in an office. I was one of three kitchen planners at the time. And we were quite a tight bunch, and there was three support staff that worked in the same office space. And a new guy joined the department, similar age to me. He'd worked in the army, but had been an officer, and was now starting his new career. He was brought in as number two in command, and when the boss was off, he would fill the top spot as department manager. When anyone who started at our business, you know, you'd always kind of treat them with a degree of suspicion, what they're going to be like, how they're going to integrate into our team, you know, what new rules might they bring in. And so there's always that kind of, you know, thinking, how are you going to be a boss to us? What's the experience going to be like? Now, at the time, I did love a bit of office banter. I enjoyed picking up on behaviours, idiosyncrasies, copying them, as to mimic accents, you know. And if you developed a catchphrase or a line, I would spot it. And if you made a silly remark, I made sure that you got a reminder of what you just said. And all of this, I suppose, humour, was done under the umbrella of the veil of office banter, a bit of a laugh, a joke. Not to be taken seriously. I wanted to make my colleagues laugh and just make the day go a bit quicker. Now, this guy made it very easy. He gave us so much ammo and material to basically laugh and poke fun at him. Then one day he said this, and it really shook me. In general conversation, he said, "I'm not going to say anything about that because Matt will probably rip me apart." He looked straight at me. I can't remember what the topic was, but I remember really realizing that my words had slowly made him too afraid to speak around me, too afraid to open my mouth in case I gave him a hard time. It dawned on me I'd become a bully. And the honest root was actually jealousy. I was jealous that he was more senior, earned more money, had more opportunities to achieve success, perceiving a silver spoon. And so I worked hard to pull him down. I'm pleased to say I did change my attitude to him, stop the comments and mocking. And when I came to Christ, I needed to repent from that time. I could have behaved so differently. I could have been patient. I could have been friendly, supportive, taken time to explain processes, generally much less of a pain, and more accepting him into our little tight gang, our little clique. Now, there is another side to those of us who need to control our tongues. It's those who have been a victim of harsh words or had things said that have caused them to still to this day be burdened with painful memories, scars that don't seem to heal, pain you've been carrying for years. In some cases, the individual may not even know how their words affected you. The words spoken to you have been sarcastic comments, throwaway lines, yet they hurt. You might have been the victim of gossip from people you cared about. Things said by family, friends, brothers and sisters in church. If that's you, in a moment, I'm going to pray for healing. In Psalm 147, verse 3, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Take the opportunity to let the Lord heal you of your broken heart. Let's pray. Lord, I pray for those who teach, that they will demonstrate wisdom and control their words and be mindful of the power of the influence that they may have on others. Lord, we repent of the harsh words we say to others. Open our eyes so we can see the motives of our words, that we recognize that words said in jest or sarcasm or in the name of banter can actually harm another person. So Lord, give us wisdom. We repent for words said in anger or out of frustration. We repent for words said to criticize or pull down. We repent for words we say grumbling with bad attitude. Lord, we do not want the enemy to get his foot in the door. Lord, teach us to use our words to encourage, to build, to support, to love, to be kind to others, to show patience, words that are gentle and understanding. Lord, I want to lift up anyone listening who has been hurt by words spoken by teachers, parents, siblings, and church family. Father, we recognize that these words can cut deep and leave painful wounds. In severe cases, the deep cuts feel very raw and very real and could have been spoken just yesterday. Lord, we ask that you heal those damaged by words. Heal their hurting hearts and replace the hurt with your love and peace, where folk can testify to your mighty healing power in their life, where people are no longer burdened by the pain of the past. Lord, I pray for those prone to speak negative words over themselves. I'm not good enough. I'm not worthy. I can't change. Help those. Speak truth and light into their lives, not negativity. Lord, bring peace and healing where needed. In Jesus' name, amen.